having a foreign subsidiary in a country getting preference in an acquisition. That may not be enough to overcome a protest. That's what a court initially decided when the Air Force went ahead with an acquisition using a subsidiary of a U.S. company and not the one homegrown in Denmark. But there's a twist. We get more now from procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And Joe, you're going to really have to sort this one out for us because it sounds important, but it's complicated.
There is a treaty in between the United States and Denmark regarding military operations and bases in Greenland. And there's the very large Thule Air Force Base in Greenland. Under the treaty, wherever feasible, the U.S. government is to contract with Greenlandic or Danish sources, Greenland being a semi-autonomous part of Denmark. In order to observe that part of the treaty and effectuate it in a procurement for support services, the Air Force contacted the U.S. Embassy in Denmark and asked them how to go about doing it. The Danish, the U.S. consulate or embassy in Denmark looked into the issue, and they found out that there was an online registration site where people could look up Danish companies and whether they'd been registered to do business. And one of the questions or one of the things that were displayed was whether or not a company was a something of a foreign company. Unfortunately, they mistranslated the Danish word as subsidiary instead of branch. And as a result, this mistranslation crept into the solicitation.
So the solicitation said that the company must be at least a subsidiary, when in reality the original language of the agreement was that it had to be a branch.
Well, the question is whether it was a subsidiary or branch of a foreign company. They wanted to bar subsidiaries. Instead, they barred branches. And the solicitation said very clearly, participation in this acquisition is limited to Danish/Greenlandic enterprises. And it said that the company shall not be registered as a subsidiary of a foreign company. But what they really intended was impossible, because companies couldn't register as a subsidiary of a foreign company in this online database. Someone during the procurement, one of the potential bidders, asked, "What do you mean by not be registered?" And they, you know, specifically said, "Well, if you go to the website, you look at, there's a searchable part of it which indicates whether or not you're a subsidiary," which was an error. That wasn't the case. It isn't possible to do that.
So therefore, companies with Danish subsidiaries, any company, I guess it could be an American company, felt that they could, in fact, bid.
Absolutely. And that wasn't, clearly that wasn't the intent of the solicitation, but that's what it literally said.
The solicitation meant to obtain a Danish native company, correct?
Exactly. And not just a foreign company that opens a Danish subsidiary, perhaps even for the purpose of this particular procurement.
So what happened?
What happened was that a company which was a Danish subsidiary of an American company won the procurement. Danish companies protested. And then we started a long and tortuous route through three different protest forums.
We're speaking with procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo. And before we get to those three forums, Danish companies have standing in U.S. appeals courts?
Oh, absolutely. If you're a bidder on a U.S. government procurement, you can come in and file actions or file bid protests.
Okay, so then this American company with the Danish subsidiary got the award. Then what happened?
Right, so the Danish companies filed a protest at GAO and said, look, this was solicitation is defective and confusing and ambiguous, and it really wasn't intended to let companies like the winner prevail. And GAO said, no, it's the solicitation is not ambiguous. It means what it means. And we believe that the winner properly qualified under the solicitation. So they dismissed the protest. Three Danish companies weren't satisfied with that answer. So they went to the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. And the court looked at the procurement. And they said, well, no, we don't think that the solicitation is ambiguous either. But we think that it's very clear what was intended. And we think the Danish companies win, that a foreign subsidiary of a company couldn't win this procurement. And that's exactly what happened.
That court overturned the GAO.
They overturned the GAO. So we've got one win for the U.S. Company, one win for the Danish companies, and the U.S. company isn't satisfied with that answer, and so they appeal to the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. And the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit says, well, we think the solicitation was ambiguous, and we think the ambiguity was resolved when an answer by vendor question was answered. And therefore, we think that the resolution of the ambiguity favors the U.S. company, and they went back to the original decision that by the GAO that the Danish subsidiary of the U.S. company was qualified to win under this solicitation.
Even though it wasn't qualified, I guess, under the treaty.
It was not what was intended under the treaty, clearly not. But the treaty wasn't part of the solicitation, and the Court of Appeals didn't really pay much attention to it.
And so that's where it ended up.
And that's where it ended up. So what we had is this solicitation where we had three different answers, even though two of them came to the same result in terms of who was going to win the procurement, they had different rationales for why that was the case. And, you have to say this is a very confusing situation in which three intelligent, competent, and skillful forums came to completely different answers on the basic question.
But in the larger sense, maybe the spirit of the treaty was fulfilled in the fact that it was a Danish subsidiary, even if it was a U.S. parent company.
I don't know if that was really what was intended. The Danish government sort of made its desires known during this procurement. Not that that was necessarily an appropriate part of the record, but that they were definitely backing the Danish companies, not this American subsidiary. The problem here, I think, is pretty obvious. The United States Air Force wanted to bar Danish subsidiaries of foreign companies. But instead of just saying that, it placed that requirement in the form of this test by looking at the registration. And since it got that wrong, the registration wrong, the test then became, that then did not achieve its purpose. The court could have restored that intent, and the Court of Federal Claims did, but the Court of Appeals chose instead to rest on a literal reading of the contract's language. The Court of Appeals also said that to the extent the solicitation was defective, it was the obligation of the bidders to object to that and protest it before submitting their bids. So what's happened here really is that instead of placing the result of the ambiguity on the government and having them bear the burden of that, the contractors, the potential bidders, have now become tasked with doing a quality control check of the solicitation and making sure that there aren't any defects in it. And so we've got a tension between two different the policies of approaching problems and solicitations, both of which have been used by courts in various circumstances.
So the lesson is pay close attention.
Absolutely. If there's something wrong with the solicitation, raise it, raise a fuss, and if necessary, protest, or else you must forever hold your peace.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Thanks so much for that enlightenment.
You're welcome.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.